begin the hour, though, by talking sports with Dr. Debbie Stroman, who joins us here now in the studio for another round of Stroman on Sports. Good to have you with us today.
It's great to be here.
Absolutely. So before we talk about the NBA, which is what our topic is for today, with a controversy brewing among the Golden State Warriors, because they need an extra obstacle in order to get to their umpteenth championship in a row. Let's talk really quickly about women's basketball, because UNC just won earlier today. They're off to a really good start and a big milestone in the world of women's college basketball with C. Vivian Stringer, who I know you know, and I love her. I went to Rutgers, so she's very big in New Brunswick. Just got her 1,000th career win, so a really
Absolutely.
Big day.
Absolutely. It is big for women's basketball. It's big for all sports. Whenever you have a pioneer like C. Vivian Stringer, I was very blessed to get to know her as a youngster. I think probably when I was around 10 years old, going out to the summer camp at Cheney University where she started, and had her knowledge, her motivation and everything. And then we go our separate ways, but she's an icon. I think she and Dawn Staley would be the two biggest female icons out of Philadelphia sports. And so about 2 years ago, I was at Rutgers doing a guest lecture, and I actually had a chance to spend time with her, and it was like old days.
Yeah.
She was just as gracious and kind as she's always been. But Rutgers loves her. Women's basketball loves her. So thank you for acknowledging and lifting up Coach Stringer.
And she's a great coach. And I mean, just to give you a sense of what a great coach she is, Cheney State went to the NCAA title game when she was with them. And that's, I mean, just to imagine like a team like that making it to the finals in any sport at all, like what a testament it is to the coach that builds that program.
Absolutely. And I think we do have a history of, and it doesn't happen often, but you get those coaches that are so good, mm-hmm. regardless of where you go, the size of the school, the type of players that you have, they're able to mold and shape the entire program such that the players play for you, the staff does whatever it takes to create a championship, and you get the opportunity to go for the big ring when really you don't have the money or resources. You don't belong there, so to speak.
And that's just a testament to her abilities as a leader. And that kind of brings us to the topic that we were going to be talking about today, over to the NBA, where you've got a number of players on the Golden State Warriors who are trying to be leaders and sparring with each other, as it were. Draymond Green just got suspended for a game by Golden State. And this all transpired just in the last 24 hours, right after an on-court conflict, which on-court conflicts between teammates, which is really significant, with Kevin Durant. So,
and you're in first place.
And you're in first place, and you've won two championships in a row, three in the last 4 years. You're going for 4-5. So it's not like you're struggling as a team, and yet this comes up. So what happened? What is the scoop behind the on-court fight?
Well, I hate to say it, but most of these things always boil down to money.
Right.
You know, I wish we could have love, peace, and harmony. But when you talk about money and big, big money, this is what can happen. And so to make a long story short, Draymond Green ended up with the ball at the end of the game, and he wanted to take the shot. And Kevin Durant, arguably one of the best players in the history of the NBA, said he felt he should have had it. Mm-hmm. It's not the first time that Draymond Green has gone off on teammates or referees or coaches or anything, but he basically went off on KD during the sidelines.
This was after Draymond Green fell down with 2 seconds left lost the ball, so KD had maybe a reason to be angry at this moment.
Another great point, because people said we wouldn't even have this conversation if they would have won.
Yeah. But which they did win, didn't they? Like, they won.
No, they lost.
Oh, did they lose
lost
that game?
The Clippers,
okay.
Yes.
Oh, they, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
So right. They went back and forth, and the insider scoop is that why they actually suspended Draymond for a game because of this is because he made mention of KD's contract.
Mm-hmm.
As in, you've got these big bucks, and we're not even sure if you're going to be around with us for the next year or the year after. Mm-hmm. And that's what stung. So it really was a contractual type thing that made them say, we've got to stop this.
Yeah.
So it went back and forth. Draymond is still considered the heart and soul of the team, which is interesting when everybody talks about the shooting and the analytics and the ball movement. But when you get to those playoffs, when you need somebody to put somebody on the floor or guard any player, Draymond's always called upon.
Yeah. So what is the role of a team leader on say a basketball team where, you know, you do rely on talent, you rely on shooting, you rely on defense, you rely on the on-court skills? How much does a team rely on that off-the-court leadership?
Well, the type of leadership that Steve Kerr has with this team is very decentralized, mm-hmm. Because they do have a lot of veterans who've been there before. They know what it takes from the preseason all the way to the final buzzer in the NBA Finals. And so he is more laid back, so to speak. But you need certain players on your team when push comes to shove and you really want to do something different, as in we need to knuckle down, we need to get a stop, or we need to make sure we get a good shot. Usually one or two people will rise up. Mm-hmm. Steph Curry is not that type of guy. He leads by example. He keeps things light and comfortable. I would say it's more of Andre Iguodala, who was the MVP 2 years ago, and definitely Draymond Green. Mm-hmm. So for Draymond to speak up like this, it's not anything new to them, but in the sense that it was a personal attack on KD and his contract, that's where really everybody kind of got, whoa. So when you have a leader that does what some would say is a low blow, that's where you start questioning, is he truly our leader? Will he be around? People mm-hmm. know that if you have to choose between a Draymond Green and a KD, a Kevin Durant, and they're both up for new contracts or to, you know, leave Golden State, you're going to pick a Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, and we're talking about the intra-team conflict. I'm just completely blanking on the words. Intra-team conflict between players on Golden State. But we're talking about this in the context of that larger question of what is it that makes a good teammate? What is it that makes a good leader? And when do you cross the line? And that's something that kind of we're talking about in the context of a basketball team, but that's something that comes up in any group environment, a group of friends, a family, a workplace, anything like that. So what do we as individuals learn from this?
So the question is, when is it appropriate to confront someone?
Mm-hmm.
When you feel that there's been wrongdoing or misunderstanding, or what direction are we going in? Do we allow things just to happen? So KD felt he should say something to Draymond as a leader. In the workplace, you might have a situation where you know that things aren't comfortable. Are you going to wait for the boss, the manager, the director to say something while things continue to be uncomfortable? Mm-hmm. Or do you, as a peer, as a colleague, do you say it's time to confront? And so I think every situation is different, obviously situational leadership. But if you allow, and especially when you're in an organization or a team project that is critical, if you allow things to just simmer, I think it lends itself to a blow up in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you might have short-term success, I think in the long run, you have an issue of character now. You have an issue of whether or not you're being real, as in where's the integrity. And certainly we have a number of examples in our community when we think about politics, when we think about what's going on with Silent Sam. A lot of people felt that it just simmered. No one wanted to address. No one wanted to confront.
Mm-hmm.
If we think about education and some of the outcomes that we have in our Chapel Hill, Carrboro City schools. So in many, many situations, you can look at the importance of confrontation. And I'm not talking about in a negative way, but just bringing something to the surface and let's talk about it. Let's address it.
And then it's if you're someone like Kevin Durant, who may not be identified as a leader on a team, but has the authority at any time, and sometimes you've got to take it upon yourself to step up and sort of assume that role when the leaders are not doing anything. What if you are the leader and you see something simmering, or you see someone stepping up and saying and confronting and raising the issue? What do you do then?
Well, there's no doubt that leaders have different roles. They have different techniques and styles, but one of the most important things for any leader is to provide perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't pump the brakes, if you don't do a pause, if you don't call everyone in, if you don't meet with the key people who work with you, beside you, or below you, then you're lending, you're taking the chance that another perspective will go live, that other perspective that you don't necessarily want to be a part of the direction you're going. That will happen. And so you have to be the one who says, Let's talk about this. Let's come up with a strategy. Let's mm-hmm. look at some tools and some resources, because this is the perspective that I want everyone to see. It's very dangerous when you have a leader that just goes off, having this perspective, but the rest of the team, the rest of the unit, the organization, the department is not following you.
Yeah, and you got to do it in the right way. It's not just like having the organization have your back and being on the same page, but then also to when you broach the issue, you've got to do it in a way that's going to get everyone else on board as well.
Well, if you're going to get the outcome that you want, you have to have buy-in.
Yeah.
And people will not buy in if they don't feel that they're a part of the process, if they don't have any type of ownership in it.
Yep.
And once again, we have many, many examples within our community, locally and nationally, where we're not getting buy-in from some of our leaders because our leaders are not communicating and explaining their perspective.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, we've got to wrap up this conversation, but where does this leave Golden State now as they move forward?
Well, it's funny because, like you said, like they need another reason to go after their
They're only going to win 60 games this year instead of 70.
Well, the mantra has always been for the squad that this is our year to do a three-peat, which is unique in all of sport. But now they can do, it's us against the world. People think because we had this blow-up that not going to win.
They're going to find a reason to say that anyway.
Yeah, so here's another chip for them to go for another title.
You know, again, NBA season still getting underway, so a lot of games to play between now and the end of the season, but we'll watch Golden State. Debbie Stroman, thank you so much.
Thank you.